Welcome back to Let's Talk Sports Radio right here on 94.9 Bob FM. Joining me now, it's a weekly segment, folks. Mixed martial arts reporter for TSN, Aaron Braunstenter, braving the cold, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm driving through this blizzard right now. There's nobody on the road, though, so it's cool. I feel like I've got all of Shepherd Avenue to myself, which is wonderful.
Don't worry, sir. I'll be voluntarily joining you next month when I come home for holidays. So I'm looking forward to seeing the snow, something we don't have here. Anyways, we talk in mixed martial arts. Lots going on this week. Let's start with last week. UFC Moscow. Zabit Magomedsharipov defeats Calvin Kattar. Unanimous decision win. And in the co-main at heavyweight, Alexander Volkov defeats Greg Hardy on 3 weeks' notice. Greg Hardy takes that fight. Unanimous decision win. We'll start with Zabit, coming off staph infection, takes the fight at 3 rounds over 5. He said after the fight that he gassed out a little bit, but still he wins to stay undefeated in the UFC. What did you think of Zabit's performance, and who does he get next?
Zabit's performance was, I would say it was his worst performance to date against his toughest opponent today. So that kind of makes sense. And I do think that he is in line for a title shot. Now, whether the UFC agrees with that, I don't know. We'll have to see. But I thought that what he did in there, especially in the first 2 rounds, he was completely outclassing Kattar. And then when the 3rd round came along, it looked like he had run out of gas. I mean, he's a high-output guy. He does all kinds of different high-risk maneuvers that take a lot of energy. And I think that had this been a 5-round fight, it might have gone differently. But I think that the pace of the fight could have been completely different had it been a 5-round fight as well. So he did have a staph infection or a bad skin infection of some sort leading up to this fight, which can definitely take a lot out of your gas tank. So I don't think that it's indicative of how good Zabit can be. I do think that Zabit is a very interesting matchup for Holloway. And I also think that if they are matched up, if Holloway beats Volkanovski, that is, and Zabit gets the next title shot, I think Holloway will be a pretty big favorite, but I don't know if it'll be justified, because I don't know if this is the Zabit that we should be accustomed to seeing. I think that Zabit is better than this. So, that's how I assess his performance right now. I would like to see him fight Yair Rodriguez, just because I think it would be a cool stylistic matchup. But I do think that in terms of the title picture, unless, like, the Korean Zombie has some sort of crazy first-round KO of Ortega in December, that Zabit right now has to be considered the front-runner.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. You've got the 245, you got Holloway Volkanovski, then the last card of the year, you got Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega, and then, of course, you have Yair Rodriguez, who just got a win over Jeremy Stephens, but you think that Zabit deserves a title shot. All right, let's go to heavyweight. So Alexander Volkov, pretty convincing win over Greg Hardy. Who does Volkov get next, and what did you think of that fight?
Volkov doesn't have a ton of options right now. He's fought one of the guys at heavyweight, and we just saw that Curtis Blades and the Junior Dos Santos have been matched up for the beginning of the year. So basically his only real option, essentially, unless I'm forgetting somebody, is Francis Ngannou. Now, that would make a lot of sense, just given where these guys are in the division. I know Francis wants a title shot next, but he might be waiting around for some time if that's the case, and it seems like he doesn't want to wait around. So, unfortunately for Volkov, that's probably what's next for him, and I don't see that one going well for Volkov. That being said, Volkov, his fight IQ is up there with anybody else in the UFC heavyweight division. Now, he had that situation where he got stopped by Lewis in, like, the last 20 seconds of their fight, a fight that he was winning the whole way. So I think he's going to be smartening up, and I think he's going to mostly try to do what he did against Hardy. Outpoint his opponents, get the better of them tactically, outvolume them, outpace them, and I think that that's really what his best attribute is in the heavyweight division. So that's probably what's next for Volkov. In terms of Hardy, I think that he showed a lot of resilience in this fight. I think that, as you mentioned, had his right hand not gotten injured in the 1st round, it could have been a different fight. That being said, given how good Volkov was and the strategy that he came into the fight with, I think that it probably would have gone the same way as long as Volkov managed to not get caught. He did get hit with that left jab a lot, and it seemed to rock him. Because, I mean, anything that Greg Hardy hits you with is going to have a lot of power, given his athletic background. One of the things that's underrated about mixed martial arts is the amount of case time experience and how that equates to fight IQ. And I mentioned this last week, that Volkov's first professional mixed martial arts fight was before Greg Hardy's first NFL game. But that's how much longer Volkov's been in a fight game than Greg Hardy. But that being said, seeing him being able to survive against Volkov, with Volkov hitting with those head kicks and all that, it showed me that he can probably hang with the bottom 5 of the top 15, if that makes sense. But anywhere from 10 to 15, I think that if Hardy, if you match him up against one of them, could take that jump into the rankings of the heavyweight division. This just wasn't his time, and it was too of a climb in competition. There are levels to this game, and I think that this particular fight showed that.
It's interesting, though. I feel like Hardy brings a certain buzz when he gets added to a card. Do you think he's in line to continue to fight ranked, you know, top 10 fighters? You know, maybe he can take the winner of Overeem Rozenstruik. You know, there's Derek Lewis out there who's also, you know, a heavy hitter who just beat Blagoy Ivanov. Tai Tuivasa, you know, he's coming off a loss. Who would you want to see fight Greg Hardy? Because I feel like there's a good amount of buzz with him in the heavyweight division now that he's starting, you know, this was his first real test, but I feel like the UFC should keep him in the mix, yes?
The UFC could keep him at that level where he's fighting ranked guys, and I think that Derek, I mean, they're doing a pay-per-view in Houston in February from the sounds of things, and that's where Derek Lewis is based. I think he'll undoubtedly be on that card, and I think that if you want to match him up with an opponent that's going to be good for the box office, then Greg Hardy would make a lot of sense. Hardy used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. From a promotional standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. Now, in terms of the career trajectory of Hardy, you got to decide if you want to keep this guy in the deep end or if you want to maybe, you know, tone it down a little bit, have him face a lower level of competition and try to bounce back. But I don't know. Maybe they're trying to start to figure out that they're not going to get as much out of Greg Hardy as they initially thought. This is the reason they put Hardy in, is to show that he can face some of these higher level heavyweights and be competitive with them. So I think obviously his agents are going to determine what's best for him. I believe his agents also represent Derek Lewis. I'm not 100% sure of that. Regardless of that, I think that's going to be what we're going to see from Hardy. The UFC is going to decide if they want to keep him kind of in the deep end, and I think that Lewis matchup in Houston would make a lot of sense if that's the case, and if his hand is healed by then, because that's about like 8 weeks away or whatever, maybe a little bit more than that. That's what I think they're going to look at.
All right, we'll ask one more question about heavyweights, then we'll go into this weekend. Nice light heavyweight matchup. So you mentioned earlier Dos Santos Blades is lined up for January 25th fight night. Dos Santos, of course, had to back out of this past weekend's fight in Moscow due to the staph infection. What do you think of that matchup? It's a top five heavyweight fight, but, you know, Dos Santos and Blades have already lost to Francis Ngannou, who seems to be the gatekeeper of the person who's next in line. So what do you think of this fight?
You have to favor Blades in this situation. Honestly, Dos Santos is good in a fight. Like, I think against Volkov, you could have seen what Junior Dos Santos could do, because that's a more tactical striking bout where it's probably going to go 3-4 rounds. And I think that against Volkov, that was a favorable matchup for him. I don't think this one is. I think that Blades being able to mix in his wrestling and his improving striking is going to cause fits for Junior Dos Santos. The only losses that Blades has had is twice to Ngannou in the UFC. And I don't think that, I mean, we saw what happened to Dos Santos when he faced Ngannou. So, as you mentioned before, I don't think a line's been released yet, but when it is, that's where I think it's going to shake out. I think that Blades has a pretty marked advantage in this stage of their careers against Junior Dos Santos. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but that's my initial feel from looking at this matchup.
All right, let's head to this weekend. Tonight, Ronaldo Jacare and Souza moves up to light heavyweight to face Jan Błachowicz, who is, of course, coming off that brutal knockout of Luke Rockhold. What do you think of this fight? Because I feel like, you know, a light heavyweight, you know, you got John Jones and everybody else. Jacare, I mean, next month he's going to be 40. Jan Błachowicz, he's not a spring chicken himself either. He's, you know, 36 years old, but certainly an important fight. You know, Błachowicz could keep himself in the mix for a title shot. But, of course, 2 weeks ago you saw, you know, Corey Anderson knock out Johnny Walker. And then, of course, we have Dominic Reyes, who's undefeated as well. So lots going on for the fight and to fight John Jones, kind of. What do you think of this fight?
For starters, the Jones, he alluded on social media. Sometimes says things that aren't necessarily true to push an error. But he said that in the coming weeks, he's going to be having his next bout. And it's against somebody who has something in common with Daniel Cormier and Ryan Bader when they fought him, which was that they were both undefeated. So all signs point to Dominic Reyes in that regard. So maybe they've made up their mind and they're going to put John Jones against Reyes. My guess would be as the co-main event for the January 18th card headlined by Conor McGregor or the headline of card in Houston. Both of those scenarios make sense. But if he does it in the coming weeks, that January 18th date would make a lot of sense. If you really want to blow that card up, you have John Jones and McGregor on the same card to start the year, coming off of two big pay-per-views already. Given that a lot of the title pictures are kind of matched up already, that would make a lot of sense. So I think that they might have already made up their mind in terms of where they want to go with the light heavyweight division, if what John Jones is saying is true. Then you look at this particular matchup with Błachowicz, who was, I think, the front-runner to face Jones next, before Reyes fought and before Corey Anderson fought. So looking at this particular matchup, this is, I think, the third has never shown that he has a suspect chin. And Jacare, I think, he's fighting for his MMA career right now. If he loses this fight, it would not be shocking to me if he walks away, because he's a title or nothing kind of guy. He wants to stay in the title picture, and if he can't stay in the title picture, there's just not much left for him to do in the UFC. He doesn't want to be a gatekeeper type. So I think he's going to come in motivated. I think that if there gets into any sort of grappling situation, that Jacare could find a way to submit Jan Błachowicz, and that's how I think this one's going to go. I think that we're going to see, I think Jacare is being a very overlooked coming into this particular spot, given how his last fight went against Jack Hermanson. But I still think that Jacare has something left in the tank. I think that, you know, he's a pretty sizable underdog in this spot, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that when you look at what Jacare brings to the table, skill set for skill set, I think that the striking, you got to give a bit of an advantage to Jan. But I also don't think that Jacare is going to, you know, find himself in the same kind of spot as a Luke Rockhold. I think that Jacare is going to try to get inside. He's going to try to grab onto Błachowicz. And if he can do that, I think that he's going to be able to find a submission. So that's how I see this one going. And I think that if Jacare does get this win, he does put himself maybe one fight away from getting a shot at John Jones or a vacant title if Jones decides to move up to heavyweight. So this could be... This is basically do or die for Jacare. I think he knows that, and I think that he's entering this fight not having retirement on his mind, having winning on his mind, and that could make all the difference.
I want to ask you about a few interviews from the Ariel Helwani MMA show this week. Nick Diaz, second biggest interview to, of course, The Rock, comes out in quite a long-winded interview, incoherent at times. Not sure what you took of it, but what many took from it was that he wanted to fight Jorge Masvidal for the BMF title. What did you think of this sort of incoherent, kind of long-winded interview?
But Nick Diaz barely ever speaks. And I will say that if you took anything away from this interview, anything definitive, you're a better man than me. Because to me, this was incoherent. It was rambling. It was, you know, Nick Diaz does do this, but there's something off with Nick Diaz. And I think that a lot of people are not admitting it, and they should look themselves in the mirror and say to themselves that if you were to book Nick Diaz against Jorge Masvidal, it would be borderline negligence. And I don't think that a fight like that should be sanctioned based on how Nick Diaz sounded in that interview, based on the fact that he hasn't won in 8 years. He last fought 5 years ago. You want to put him against the guy, the fighter of the year, a guy who's in title contention right now, just to make it a couple bucks. I would be very much against that. And I also think that if your takeaway is that he wants to fight Masvidal, then I think that you're reading a little bit too far into it also. I don't think that he made any sort of definitive statement. I know that he was upset about him saying that he was going to baptize his younger brother and all that. And maybe if this, you know, took to the streets or something, maybe Nick would throw hands. But I don't think Nick wants to fight again in the UFC. I don't think his head is in the game. I don't think he's training very much, especially in combat sports. Maybe he's doing his marathons and all that. But seems like he's been doing more training in the clubs than in the gyms. And I don't think that it would be right to put him in a bout against someone as dangerous as a Jorge Masvidal in a fight 5 years away from the game. To me, I just think that would be negligence. I think that you'd be trying to make an easy buck, and I don't think it would be a good look. That being said, we've seen this kind of thing before. I know that the UFC is a promotion. They are a business. They are in the business of making money. It just wouldn't sit well with me is all I'm saying. You know, a lot of people say, look at BJ Penn. They kept giving him fights, but they were giving him fights against Dennis Stever, against lower-level guys in the division. This is a guy who right now is a top three guy in the division, who's coming off 3 wins, one over an undefeated guy in Ben Askren, one over Darren Till, who had only lost one fight, and that was in a championship bout, and now against Nate Diaz, who I think at this point in time, it's very fair to say that is a better fighter than his brother. Nate Diaz was probably the lowest level opponent that Jorge beat this past year. So I it just would not sit well with me if that's what ends up happening. It makes me very uncomfortable to think that Nick Diaz who did that interview fight again in the UFC.
I want to ask another question about the Ariel Helwani show. Heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic says he wants to fight Tyson Fury. Is this for real? What is the deal with all of these MMA fighters wanting to fight boxers? You have video of Tyson Fury circulating, training with Darren Till. What's going on? Why is everyone so obsessed with boxers and MMA wanting to get in the octagon or in the ring, for example? Is this really going to happen?
First of all, the UFC and Stipe have had contentious negotiations for years. Do you think they're going to pull Stipe out of the UFC, their heavyweight champion, to fight in boxing and let another promotion or another... They're going to put it on DAZN? Like they're competing with the UFC? That basically, the guy who ran DAZN basically said they're going up against the UFC, even though they do own UFC rights in certain countries. That's besides the point. Do you think they're going to put their heavyweight champion in a boxing match on DAZN. Like, people really believe that this is, and you think that Eddie Hearn, or who is a top rank that manages Tyson Fury, that they're going to put him in an MMA fight against the heavyweight champion? People need to think this through before we start writing these stories about how, he called him out. I can call it Stipe Miocic. They're going to put me against Stipe Miocic in the UFC? Are they going to sanction that? Let's stop making these fantasy matchups. It's going to be Cormier versus Miocic next. Francis is going to sit and wait for the winner of that fight, or fight Volkov, or fight someone else. This isn't a crossover sport. McGregor versus Mayweather was a phenomenon. We saw how that went because it's a professional, undefeated professional boxer, one of the best in our era, against a mixed martial artist. We saw how that went. He was Conor was outclassed, had no chance of winning that bout. It was basically a gimmick. And I think the UFC saw what happened to Conor after that. They've only been able to get him to fight once since then. They lost basically their fault of both. Do you think they're going to let that happen again? Like, they're going to let their heavyweight fight? They're going to put the heavyweight division on hold so you can fight Fury and boxing for another network? Like, people need to really think these things through before they talk about it as a responsibility. Like, you can say, this person's going to fight this person. Yeah, that's great. But how does it work? What do the contracts look like? Who's getting a cut? There's a lot that goes into making a fight like a McGregor versus Mayweather. And they're not going to do it again. Until the exact right. They're not going to do. You think they're going to do Canelo versus Masvidal? That Dana White's going to sit in a room with Oscar De La Hoya and negotiate a fight that then benefits DAZN and benefits Oscar De La Hoya? You got to be crazy. You got to be out of your mind. So let's get this boxing MMA crossover stuff done with. I'm doing a podcast today. I plan on sounding off on this in a similar fashion to the way I just did, George, because it gets me fired up.
Mixed martial arts reporter Aaron Bronstetter. Thank you, sir.
Jordan, you got me fired up, and now you're ending the interview. This is not a good look for me. I need to keep going.
You need a warm drink, perhaps a coffee. I don't know, McDonald's, Tim Hortons. I don't know what you drink down there. Perhaps a tea, something to warm. Keep the fire going, sir.
Well, the fire's been ignited, Jordan. Thank you for getting me fired up in the early morning. I appreciate it.
All right, no worries. Have a great day, brother.